for 22 gauge metal dick, and I would assume it had to be a non-metallic, you know, something that was that wouldn't magnetize, so or must be. Basically, I guess I could say it was for shielding the, you know, the color picture tube against magnetic fields. Over.
Good guess that it was a magnetic shield. I'm a little bit doubtful, though. I think it was a physical shield. In other words, in the early days, periodically you would get a flaw in the glass where when you walked the television set from a cold car into a hot room, the thermal difference would make the tube crack. I used to be in the radio and television repair business. On two occasions, a tube cracked on me. Thank goodness in both cases, it was the neck of the tube that cracked, and therefore it was a very non-event. Had it been the side of the tube that cracked and suddenly imploded, it would have been sending very high velocity glass all over the place. In fact, I did have one picture tube once that did fail in a set that did not have a metal shield around it. The flying glass inside this, I think it was a 16-inch television, black and white set, the flying glass from that implosion blasted every single small tube that was in that set that wasn't in its own metal shield. And shards of glass got buried into the wall behind the television set. Nothing flew out the front because there was a safety glass. In the old days, there used to be a safety glass in front to protect you, the user. Now the safety glass is bonded onto that front glass. And in the old days, you used to have to remove that safety glass periodically and take out all the electrostatic attracted dust, because the dust accumulating in there started making the picture dim. Guarantee you've wiped out that dust a whole lot of times. But that metal out the back could have been new metal. I think not. I think it was only a shield because you had a safety glass up front and you needed something out back in case that cathode ray tube had an implosion. That's my best guess as to what's going on. There was one other secondary effect of having that shield. Between it and the picture tube, you did build up a capacitance. The capacitance increased the filtering characteristic of your high voltage flyback power supply, making that voltage on the high voltage on the tube, the 30 kilovolts, a little bit more pure. Back to you, Mel, KQRIW.
Got the books out, the old original books, Color TV. I'm going to see if they say, for some reason I remember them saying that this was a shield, a magnetic shield of some sort, that it was not there for any kind of implosion or anything of that sort. See if they tell you anything in here. Boy, I have to try to find it. You know, let me see, shields, maybe back under anything here. No, metal on the metal shield. Now, I can't find it in this book, but I can almost swear that that was a type of magnetic shield that they put on the rectangular tube stick. Over.
It certainly could have been, Mel. My only reluctance to believe that is it would have been expensive. I'm guessing for that amount of stuff, we're talking about a $50 component, and that would cut heavily into the profit. But the rectangular tubes gave you a lot more stresses from the vacuum than you had with the round tubes. So physical protection is possible. Also, the early color set, orientation of the Earth's magnetic field versus your convergence alignment was something they worried about. So it very well could have been a new metal shield. We'll soon find out. Interesting question. I think it's getting a little bit late. We've been keeping these people, some of these people are keeping their eyes open with toothpicks, Mel. Back to you.
Okay. I'll find it somewhere in here, and I'll let you know exactly what it is next week. And very good. Great net tonight, as always. So, thank you, all those that send me the emails, and I'm sure Dick appreciates the messages that I pass on to him about your emails. So, keep them coming. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great week. Be careful, and whatever you're doing. And we'll look forward to continuing this next week. This is K2KEY. Back over to Dick. Let him put the finishing touches on it. 73 is all.
And a quick question, Mel. Did we cover most of your burning questions that have been emailed to you this week?
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I pick out the Dick. I have a lot of them that I have. I just send back them. No comment, believe me. Some of them are just a little outrageous, but to put it this way. Where, you know, when your profession is consulting engineering, I will convey to anything that has to do directly with amateur radio, as long as I don't have to quote something about, you know, a commercial piece of equipment, as I said. I will not, you know, suggest buying so-and-so's antenna or so-and-so's rig over another one. I also will not answer questions about something in the field that other than amateur radio, over.
Smart move. Yep. I soon discovered when I was publishing articles, and now that I do quite a bit of web publishing by way of listservs, microwave lister, microwave listserv, and the bone bounce listserv, and the VHF, and so on. And by the way, I got myself into a whole lot of trouble in the last 2 weeks because there is a Australian amateur listserv and the Queensland VHF magazine where I published an article 2 weeks ago. And it was an article about the ideal side lobe levels of a Yagi. And boy, did I open up a hornet's nest. Because although my article had first been published a year ago in a UK microwave magazine and also published in a United States microwave magazine, I assumed it had had a bit of peer review, and since I got no flack and I got a bunch of compliments, I thought everything's okay. Well, apparently to a person in Australia, just because it was approved by the people in the United Kingdom, ain't good enough. And they gave me quite a bit of flack. And they made all kinds of ridiculous comparisons of making statements without support. Well, in my original article, I told them where my opinion came from, why I have that opinion, and I backed it up with some respected textbooks that seem to support the opinion. And they're accusing me of coming up with wild opinions that have no support. And I then went further and proposed, okay, you take your computer modeling programs, and you do this, this, and this, and you can confirm or deny. And if, even if you have doubt about the computer modeling program accuracy, you can build the real antenna predicted by the computer modeling program, bring it on a good antenna range, and measure the real thing. It's all on the subject of, there's a bunch of people in Australia who think that all the power put into side lobes of an antenna is wasted power, and that you should make the side lobes go to minus 40 dB. Absolutely, positively wrong. But they believe it. And it's a good common sense belief. But that's another whole subject. Okay, Mel and I will be back next week delving into more of these slight mysteries and big mysteries of the wireless world. Mel and I are slowly concluding that we can't answer all the questions. And along that line, Mel, as soon as I published a couple articles way back in the dark ages, I used to get a bunch of letters from guys who would describe every single piece of ham radio equipment and every piece of test equipment they own. And in 2,000 words, they'd be asking me, how can I make best use of all this stuff? Of course, that's an impossible to answer question. Or is brand A better than brand B of antenna? One claims this number of zillion dB of gain, and that one claims that number of zillion dB of gain. Which is the better antenna? Ain't no good answer to those. 73 you all. Be kind to each other. See you next week. K2LIW TechNet Limon. We're clear.
That's all I'm going to say. Basically, that's what I meant. No comment. I got a load of them, Dick, and very expanded ones that you could sit there page after page. So basically, I just gave them, I'm giving them the, in fact, I'll say it right on the air. As Dick just put it, we can't expand on it. We can't answer it. So please, don't ask. Thank you, 73. This is K2KEY.